Beloved, in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks once again for bracing the cold. You are soldiers. That's what soldiers do. Amen. Yeah, if a soldier says, because it's cold, I don't go to church or I don't go for training, that's not a good soldier. A good soldier is able to endure hardship, like the book of Timothy says. And this is serious because we are in a warfare. We've got an enemy who hates you. We've got an enemy who hates mankind. And if it were up to the devil, he could have already killed some of us. But can I tell you, I'm still here. Because the grace of the Lord is keeping me. Whatever the enemy throws at us, we are equipped to handle him. And that's why you must never underestimate coming for training. So as the Lord teaches us to battle, the Bible says he trains my hands for battle. And you know, over the past 2 weeks, we're talking about fighting the good fight of faith. We are continuing with that. I know we've got baby dedication today. We'll do that toward the end. But we need to continue to be trained and equipped. Amen? Yes. Tell your neighbor, fight the good fight of faith. Yeah, and I will just give you a background and a history so that you can understand. Mr. MJ, let's go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 to 12, NIV. That's the scripture that we have been using over the past 2 weeks. But it's so important to understand this, because if you are not serious about your walk with the Lord, you will be devoured by the enemy. The devil is out to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus has come that we might have life and have it in abundance. So that's why it's necessary to be trained. Can you tell your neighbor, I know how to put the devil under my feet? And I know how to take charge and take dominion. So let's go and read it. Revelation 12, 1 to 12, NIV.
A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth.
Okay, now you see, she was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Whatever it is that you are pregnant with, whether it's pregnant with a child or pregnant with any, even your visions, the things that you are so much pregnant with, there is an enemy who wants to attack that. So listen.
Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that it might devour her child the moment he was born.
So you see, there is an enemy. Eh? Yes, there is an enemy who wants to devour your vision, your dream, even your children. Amen? But I thank God that God gives us a scenario, or gives us the reality, but he tells us how to handle it. And let's read further, you will see how to handle this.
She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne.
You know, who is this child? Who is this son? The Lord Jesus, isn't it? Who will rule the nations with an iron scepter. Yeah. And do you know that even after Jesus was born, Herod was used by the enemy and he wanted to kill the baby Jesus. Right? Yes. So if even baby Jesus was a target of the enemy, any one of us is a target. So I was saying that the good thing is that the devil does not have a final say. So even what you are going through, even where the enemy is still seeming to be having an upper hand, that's not the end. Continue.
The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back.
Tell your neighbor, this war started in heaven. But it didn't end there. So continue.
But he was not strong enough.
Tell your neighbor, the devil is not strong enough.
The devil is not strong enough.
He likes fighting, but he's not strong enough. He likes causing trouble, but he's not strong enough. It's like when you are in a tug of war, when you are pulling, you know when people are pulling in a tug of war, whoever gives in first loses. So whatever the enemy is pulling against you, just keep on holding. He is not strong enough.
Mm-hmm. And they lost their place in heaven.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The great dragon was held down, that ancient serpent called the devil.
Okay, now, I told you the dragon, so I'm glad that the Bible explains itself. Who is the dragon?
The devil.
The ancient serpent called?
The devil.
The devil. Uh-huh.
Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah.
I told you I like this because you can be told about a picture, a situation, and it looks bleak, and quickly you will hear God saying, now. It's like the but. Now has come what? Salvation.
Mm-hmm.
The power.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. So even though the devil has been thrown down to us, we know that salvation, power, and kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah is with us.
Amen.
Mm. Verse 11, how did they overcome him?
They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
So how do we overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So we keep on speaking what we believe. We keep on proclaiming the goodness of God in our lives. We keep on talking divine health of our bodies. We keep on talking divine protection in our lives. We keep on proclaiming long life and saying the enemy is not going to kill us. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, that's the word of my testimony. You need to also have the word of your testimony. If the word of your testimony is, you never know, you know, there are so many things that the devil is doing, and the devil this, the devil that, the devil that, and you don't know what God is doing, then it's problem. Continue.
Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them.
Mm-hmm.
But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short.
So according to this verse, where is the devil? He's not in heaven. Okay? He is thrown down to the earth and he is furious. No wonder the things that we see. You can see the devil is cruel, isn't it? You just look around and you see how cruel the enemy is. You see how today you would be with somebody and you are rejoicing with them. Tomorrow you hear they have died tragically. You see, you find people today who say they love each other, and tomorrow you hear the very same one who said he was the lover of this one is the one who killed that one. Then you just know there has to be the devil who hates us. But I thank God that the enemy is defeated. Tell your neighbor, I've got good news. The enemy is defeated. Jesus is on the throne. And we reign with him. So Luke 10, 17 to 19, Mr. Mkosi, Luke 10, 17 to 19, New King James Version. So one time when Jesus had sent his disciples, he gave them authority. So it says, and the authority of his Messiah. That authority of Messiah is given to us, the church of Jesus Christ. And God wants us to use the authority. So even when the disciples were sent, they went and used the name of Jesus, and they were obeyed. They casted out devils, and even demons were obeying them. They were healing the sick, and people were getting healed. And they came back to give Jesus the report, to say things are going well. Luke 10, 17 to 19, look at this.
Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
That is who you are. In other words, the enemy, we can talk a lot about what the devil has done, but what counts is what Jesus has done. And the authority of his Messiah that is upon our lives. And he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And I said, I don't know whether is that incident or the incident when he fell in Revelations, but he fell. Okay? And Jesus now says, because he fell from heaven to the earth, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Tell your neighbor, don't worry about the power of the enemy. You have authority over the enemy. Because some of you keep on saying, I don't know what's happening in my life. I don't know what God is trying to teach me. I don't know why all these things. You are not exercising your authority. You need to exercise your authority over the enemy. And God expects you to use that authority. And he says, if you exercise your authority, nothing shall by any means harm you. You have power over all the powers of the enemy. And whatever the enemy wants to do against us, we have authority. And today I want us to focus more on this. You know 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith, isn't it? That's the one we are working with. But I want you to understand that the spiritual dictates to the natural. Okay? And I will show you three scriptures how you start on the spiritual realm, and if you take charge there, you've got authority in the natural. Also, even when the enemy wants to attack you, it's planned in the spiritual realm, and then it manifests in the natural. Now, unfortunately, some of you who only understand the natural, I told you last week we were praying for those who were sick, and I said, even sickness is from the enemy, and you will try to give natural explanations to sickness, but I tell you that there is a spiritual realm. And as a child of God, you were supposed to know that you are a spirit. The Bible says, man, the word of God says, man is a spirit. You live in a body and you possess a soul. So I prove that to you that you are a spirit. Do you know that when somebody drops down dead, they say he is gone, but his body is still there? Which means the real you is not this body that we see. And that spirit who you are, that is the one who connects to God. And we're actually supposed to take charge in the spiritual realm and take control so that we can control the natural. Now, I'll give you examples. Let's go to the book of Job, because I want to look at this one and I want to show you something very important. Job was a successful man and he was somebody who loved God greatly. And God was even proud about Job. But there was one time when the devil came before God together with all the other angels, and then the devil wanted to attack Job. He had to talk to God first about that, and I'm going to show you, and you will see how things were planned in the spiritual realm, and I will show you how the very same things that were planned in the spiritual realm took place in the natural. So that you can understand, even in your own life, even when you are here. The enemy is planning against you. But can I tell you, even when you are here, God is also planning for you. Amen. So it means when the enemy is planning against me, God's plans are more superior. God says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans not to harm you. Who has plans to harm you? The devil. Yes. When you are hurt, when you are harmed, it's not God. God says, I have no plans to harm you. It's your enemy who plans to harm you. You know that, isn't it? It's Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. Plans not to harm you, but plans to give you a good future. So that's what God plans about me. Tell your neighbor, God has good plans for me. And he's working behind the scene, even when I'm here. Yeah, but now to show that God has good plans about you, look, the devil also has got plans against you. That's why the word of God in Psalms 91 says, he delivers you from the snare of the fowler. So it means the enemy is putting traps and things where he wants to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Job chapter 1, verse 6 to 12, Mr. MJ. GNT. Let's do it in the good news.
When the day came for the heavenly beings to appear before the Lord, Satan was there among them.
Okay. I want you to look at this because it says there was a day when the heavenly beings, so the angels, came to appear before the Lord, and Satan was where?
There.
He was among them. Mm-hmm.
The Lord asked him, what have you been doing? Satan answered, hey, I've been walking here and there, roaming around the earth.
You see, when you are roaming around and you are bored, you're behaving like Satan. Because he does not have plans. He does not have aims. He just roams around. He says, I was roaming around, walking here and there, aimlessly. Continue.
Did you notice my servant Job? The Lord asked.
I like it if God could ask about me also, man. And something good about us. Uh-huh.
There is no one on earth as faithful and good as he is.
Hey, it's good to have this accolades from God.
He worships me and is careful not to do anything evil. Satan replied, will Job worship you if you got nothing out of it? You always have protected him and his family and everything he owns.
You see how the devil is aware of of what God is for you and who God is to you. He says, does Job fear God for nothing? Isn't it that you are always protecting him? So this is ridiculous because God was protecting him against who? Hey.
Yeah.
So it means the enemy. Actually, in the King James, it says, you have formed a hedge around him, around his family, and around all that is his on every side. Then I saw that it means indeed the devil tried here. He couldn't get in. He tried even through the children. He couldn't get it. He tried that side, maybe his livestock. He couldn't get it. Then he says, I've got no way here. Job is well protected. Can you tell your neighbor, I'm well protected? Amen. On every side. Because the enemy has got many things he can attack you with. Okay? So that's why if you depend on natural means for protection, you can protect yourself against a natural means by one particular thing, but there are many other things the enemy can still get you with. So you can as well trust God for your protection. But he says, just repeat verse 10.
You have always protected him and his family and everything he owns.
Mm-hmm.
You bless everything he does.
Yo, the devil also knows that we are blessed.
And you have given him enough cattle
to fill the whole country.
I think the devil was exaggerating, but it's good when he exaggerates about our prosperity.
Yeah.
You see, he says, you've given him enough cattle
to fill
the whole country. But I like it. Yes. I like it when the devil thinks I'm more prosperous than I am. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Mm.
Continue.
But now, suppose you take away everything he has, he will curse you to your face.
Oh, now, I want you to look at this because Job was a good man. He was a faithful man. He loved God. Okay?
Yeah.
And yet, the enemy is plotting against him. He says, suppose you take everything he has and he will curse you to your face. Verse 12.
All right, the Lord said to Satan, everything he has is in your power, but you must not hurt Job himself. So Satan left.
Oh, okay. I want you to listen to this because those of you who don't read your Bibles, you get confused and you hear what people tell you and you don't go and read the Bible yourself. So the devil says to God, if you take everything he has, he will curse you to your face. And God answers, all right, everything he has is where now? It's in your power. But you must not hurt him. Did you see that? In other words, the devil was saying, God, take everything. God says, no, I don't take what my children has. But he is there for you. You can, because you are saying that he's loving me because his things are protected. Okay, there he is. But don't touch him. Okay? You can take everything he has, but don't touch him. Don't hurt him. So the devil was given that, and he cannot pass that. He had to go, I'll show you, he had to go the second time when he wanted to touch him and had to get another permission. He can't just touch me. I'm untouchable. Tell your neighbor, I'm untouchable. Now, you saw what happened in the spiritual. Okay? God and Satan talking about Job. And Job, the devil planning to destroy everything that Job has, to take away everything that Job had. Now listen from verse 13 to 21. Mr. MJ, read it for us. Now, we are talking the natural now. And those of you who only understand the natural, I told you last week about the lightning that we knew. And then you define it by science. You will see here. And even when people plan to come and kill, you will see here. So the very same thing that the devil was going to do, now you will see what he uses to get his plans achieved. So read from verse 13.
One day, when Job's children were having a feast at the home of their oldest brother, a messenger came running to Job. We were plowing the fields with the oxen, he said, and the donkeys were in a nearby pasture. Suddenly, the servants attacked and stole them all. They killed every one of your servants except me. I'm the only one we escaped to tell you.
You remember everything that Job had was protected, but now God says everything is in your hand. And now the devil is using, here you can see what he's using, okay? Natural things to attack Job. Natural things to steal from Job. Natural things to kill even the servants of Job. Continue.
Before he had finished speaking, another servant came and said, lightning struck the sheep and the shepherds and killed them all. I am the only one who escaped to tell you.
So I want to show you that scientific lightning. So you tell me these are the atoms. You don't understand the spiritual. Okay? So what killed the sheep and the shepherds and the oxen?
Lightning.
Yeah. And where did this lightning come from? We know. We read the beginning of the book. We are not taken by surprise. If you walk in the spiritual, you will not be surprised because you already know things before they come to pass. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, continue.
Before he had finished speaking, another servant came and said, "Three bands of Chaldean raiders attacked us, took away the camels, and killed all your servants except me. I'm the one who escaped to tell you." Before he had finished speaking, another servant came and said, "Hey, your children were having a feast at the home of your oldest son when a storm swept in from the desert. It blew the house down and killed them all."
Yeah, and you tell me, you will say, no, it's natural. It's natural disasters. Yeah, you don't understand the spiritual. That's why you talk like that. We know where these things were coming from. If you can stop it there, you will stop it in the natural.
Amen.
Fight the good fight of faith. Continue.
Then Job got up and tore his clothes in grief. He shaved his head and threw himself face downward on the ground. He said, "I was born with nothing, and I will die with nothing. The Lord gave, and now he has taken away. May his name be praised."
Okay, tell your neighbor, Job did not read Job chapter 1. Yeah, tell your neighbor that, because you have seen in Job chapter 1 that it's not God who took. And you still keep on telling us, because you don't read your Bibles, when something happened, "Oh, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away." I'm quoting the scriptures. Job did not read Job chapter 1. You have read Job chapter 1. Who took?
Evil.
Yes. Clear, isn't it? Okay, let's clarify it more. Go to Job chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. Now, the first thing was, everything he hath is in your hands, but don't touch him. So, even after the devil destroyed everything that Job had, Job kept on standing with God. Some of you, you only serve God when things are going well with you. When you are in trouble, you want to desert God. That's not how to do it. You must be for God whether things are going well or not going well. You must be like Habakkuk. Though the fig tree stops blossoming, even if there are no more cattle in the kraal, yet I will continue to glory in the Lord my God. I am determined to serve my God, whatever happens. But then the good thing is, when you are standing with God, the enemy does not have a final say. He can't just be rampant. He can't just say, "Oh, this preacher, he's teaching people the nice thing now. He's telling them that they are protected. Let me go and kill him." He can't kill me. Amen. Because I am protected under the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And I speak it, because we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Amen. So now read Job chapter 2. Mr. Mkosi, read verse 1 to 7. Good news.
When the day came for the heavenly beings to appear before the Lord again, Satan was there among them.
They were appearing again, and Satan again was there. Mm-hmm.
The Lord asked him, "Where have you been?" Satan answered, "I have been walking here and there and roaming around the earth."
Mm-hmm.
This is the same thing again.
Continue.
Did you notice that my servant Job, the Lord asked, "There is no one on earth as faithful and as good as he is. He worships me and is careful to not to do anything. You persuaded me to let you attack him
for no reason. You must read it right. It's not you let me attack him.
You persuaded me
to let who?
Let you.
To let you.
Attack him. You persuaded me to let you attack him for no reason at all.
You see?
But
are you reading this?
Amen.
Yeah. So next time people tell you, "The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away," We are quoting scriptures.
Amen.
You must tell them, read well.
But
okay. You but persuaded me to let you attack him for no reason at all. But Job is still as faithful as ever. Amen. Hey, can we all say we love Job?
We love Job.
Yes, man. If it were some of you, you would have been saying, Lord, I was faithful to God and now things are falling apart. Maybe I must just go to the world. You know, Job's wife, she said, when things are going like this, you can just leave God, man. What's the benefit in serving God? And you will still have people who are like that. When things are not going well for them, they think of going back to Egypt. They think of going back to the world. They think of quitting. But Job is as faithful as ever. Continue.
Satan replied, "A person will give up everything in the world to stay alive. But now suppose you hurt his body. He will curse you to your face."
Oh, did you hear that? At first it was about, it's because these things are protected, and if he can lose all he has, he's going to curse you. God said, okay, he's in your hand. And after he attacked everything he had, now Satan is changing the goalposts. He says, oh, it's easy. If a person can lose everything, it's not a big deal. But if you can touch his body, because he was told you cannot hurt him. Okay? You remember? There was a barrier. So now he says, no, suppose you hurt his body, he will curse you to your face. Verse 6.
So the Lord said to Satan, all right then, he is in your power, but you are not to kill him.
Oh. Say, oh. You see now he is allowed to touch his body, but he must not kill him. Amen? Yeah, because if the devil is not restrained, he would go beyond measure, man. Now, he has to be controlled. Okay? You can touch his body, but you mustn't kill him. And then, verse 7.
Then Satan left the Lord's presence and made sores break out all over Job's body.
Oh, so we know who caused even the sores on Job's body, isn't it? Because we have read the book of Job. And I told you that Job did not read Job chapter 1. Amen. So some of the things he said are not necessarily, you know what happened in the spiritual, isn't it? So we see things happening in the spiritual and then they manifest in the natural. Today, as we go toward the end, I will even show you why even in your prayer life, you are actually controlling things in the spiritual and then they will manifest in the natural. Amen. So go to the book of Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32, Good News Translation again, Mr. Mkosi. So I want to show you that as much as Satan asked for permission to hurt Job, even in our life, Satan is not allowed to just do everything he wants. He is a cruel devil. So therefore, he has to be restrained. And look at Luke chapter 22, 31 and 32, Good News Translation, Mr. Mkosi. Again, look at how Satan keeps on asking for permission to cause trouble. But then, do you know why he is allowed? Can I tell you why he is allowed? Because God himself does not cause trouble. So when Satan comes and he wants to cause trouble and says, if I cause trouble, these people are going to quit their faith. God has got to allow him and say, let's see. Go and test. And they find you still standing. Okay? Now Luke 22, 31 and 32, good news.
Okay. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has received permission to test all of you.
Oh, what did Jesus say? Satan has received permission to test you. Okay? So even sometimes when you are going through difficult times and you are saying, oh God, where are you now? Why? Satan has received permission to test you. It's not God who is against you. God is for you. God is your God. Okay? But Satan has received permission to test all of you.
Mm. Mm-hmm. To separate the good from the bad, as a farmer separates the wheat from the chaff. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. And when you turn back to me, you must strengthen your brothers.
I like verse 32. Jesus does not say, but I've prayed for you, Simon, that Satan mustn't test you. Uh-uh. He says, but I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Fight the good fight of faith. And let not your faith fail. So he says, I know you've got something enough to handle the enemy. So even when he has received permission to test you, I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. So if I've got my faith, I cannot be defeated. Tell your neighbor, hold on to your faith. You will not be defeated. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen. So he says, I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. So we also need to pray for one another. I'm telling you about these fights, all this that the enemy is attacking, but can we also pray for one another? Pray for me also. Imagine if all of you are praying for me. No devil in hell can succeed. Amen? Because each one of you, we're praying for our pastor. Lord, use him mightily. Continue to protect him. Continue to keep him in good health. Continue to reveal yourself more and more. Continue to use him for your glory. Amen. And I'm also saying that for myself. So he says, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Now, the next part says, when you turn back to me, you must strengthen your brothers. So now I want to show you the value of a testimony. Sometimes when you are going through things, those difficult things that you are going through, and you are always crying every night because things are not working well, and the enemy is putting you under pressure, we pray that your faith will not fail. And when your faith has not failed and now you get your victory, go back and strengthen the others. Go back and tell your brethren, oh, I was going through this and the Lord came through for me. Now somebody would be going through the same thing and now they say, oh, really? Can God really do this? You say, yes, my brother. I was even in a worse situation than that. But look where I am today. So we need to testify after God has given us our victory. Amen. Amen. So in prayer, we bring the spiritual to the natural. Now look at the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verse 12 to 14, Good News Translation. Again, here you will see, when you are praying, we're praying to God, but there are forces of darkness that want to hinder answers to your prayers. It's not that God does not hear. It's not that God does not give you your success. But you've got an enemy who blocks your success, who wants to torment you, who is blocking your miracle. You keep on standing. Don't give in. Daniel 10, 12 to 14, Good News Translation. You can read it, Mr. MJ.
Then he said, Daniel, don't be afraid. God has heard your prayers ever since the first day you decided to humble yourself in order to gain understanding.
So when did God hear Daniel's prayer?
The first day.
The very first day. So even some of you are praying now and you think God is not hearing. Lord, I've been praying. It's 10 years now. And you seem not to be hearing. The angel says, the very first day you prayed,
your prayers were heard. Amen.
But what happened?
The angel prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days.
Yeah. So he says, ever since the first day you prayed, God already heard you. And I have actually come in answer to your prayer. But the angel prince, you see now the angelic beings. The angel prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days. So it means for 21 days when Daniel was not getting his answers, was it that God did not answer? There were forces of darkness that were blocking the answer. And what happened for the answer to ultimately arrive?
Then Michael...
Oh, you heard that name before?
Yes.
You heard that name before. Tell your neighbor, you heard that name before.
You have heard that name.
Yes, angel, the angel of war.
Oh, yes.
So when there are some things there and the enemy is misbehaving, the archangel Michael was dispatched. Read.
Then Michael, one of the chief angels, came to help me because I had been left there alone in Persia.
Yeah, so the Bible doesn't say this was Gabriel, but I think this was Gabriel. He's the messenger angel. He knows how to bring things, but he doesn't fight like Michael. So he says, I was left alone there. So the forces of the enemy were able to detain that messenger angel for 21 days until Michael, the archangel of war, came to help me. Verse 14.
I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the future. This is a vision about the future.
You see now, the spiritual dictates to the natural. So things that are there. So sometimes you've been praying and you've been crying. So instead of you always saying, God, what's happening now? What's happening? Take your ground and fight against the enemy and say, devil, let go of my blessing. I know God is on my side. Okay? You don't fight with God when things are not going well. God is for you. God wants things to work out for you. You've got an enemy who wants to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And we are well armed to take authority. God has given us his armor. So go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 13, Good News Translation. Ephesians 6, 10 to 13, Good News Translation. Again, take it, Mr. MJ.
Finally, build up your strength in the union with the Lord and by the means of his mighty power.
Yeah, so the power is of God, but he has given us the authority. Okay.
Put on all the armor that God gives you so that you'll be able to stand up against the devil's evil tricks. For we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age.
What are we fighting against? Against
wicked
spiritual forces in the heavenly world. The rulers, the authority, the cosmic powers of this dark age. We are not fighting against people. So even people whom you call your enemies, they are just natural objects that the devil is using. Okay? So our fight is not against them. They are just objects. Go for the source. Amen? Yes. And that's where our authority. So we need to take authority in the spiritual realm. We need to take charge in the spiritual realm. That's why our armor is not physical armor. It's spiritual. And we take authority, we take charge. And I want to show you that as we're winding down now, because we need to land and then do the baby dedication. So if you look at this spiritual controlling the natural, and you as a child of God, you can walk in the spiritual and you also walk in the natural. How many of you know that a frog is called an amphibian? Okay, we did some of these things in Bantu education, but now they are making sense. So, an amphibian is able to live in water and in land. Do you know that it's natural for an amphibian to live in water as much as it's natural for it to live in land? Yeah. For you, you cannot live in water. If you go down to water for 5 minutes, you are dead. Okay? Because that's not where you are supposed to live. Take the fish out of water for 10 minutes, it's dead. That's where, not where it's supposed to live. But take the frog. Let him go in water, he can live. Let him come into land, he can live. So that's who I am. I am a spirit being. But I also live in the natural. For me, the spiritual is as natural as the natural. Amen. I'm an amphibian. Amen. So I live in the spiritual as much as I live in the natural. And that's why the Bible says, Romans 8, 1 to 2, and New King James Version, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is a spiritual law. The law of the spirit of the law of sin and death is also a spiritual law. These two laws dictate to the natural. If you confine with the kingdom of God, you will walk in the spirit, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And you will be set free from the law of sin and death. It means even if people are plotting against you, even if they, I told you last week, I've got problem with Christians who are bewitched, who are complaining about being bewitched. And you said, no, Pastor, but no, you have the stronger power. Those wizards and witches who are coming against you, they are using the tools of the enemy. Your God is more superior. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is stronger than the law of sin and death. I make it simple, like, you know, the aeroplane. I like the story of an aeroplane. Okay? The aeroplane is big and heavy, and all of us here can fit into one aeroplane. And then it takes off. But do you know that there is a law called the law of gravity? The law of gravity does not allow anything to go up. Even if I take a small piece of paper now and throw it up, it won't go. It will come back. Because there's a law that says go down. But when the aeroplane is taking off, even if the law of gravity is there, the law of lift or the law of aerodynamics supersedes the law of gravity. Okay? So now, as a child of God, you are like that. When there is a forces of darkness that wants to pull you down, you just engage in another law called the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of aerodynamics, and you take off. And those who wait upon the Lord, you can clap your hands, will renew their strength. They will mount up high with wings. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. Why? Because I'm trusting in God. There is something in me that doesn't allow me to stay down. The other time I gave you an example of a plastic ball full of air. If you push that plastic ball under water, you put it under pressure. The moment you take your hand off, what happens to the plastic ball? It comes up. And if you do it again and you leave it, what happens? If you do it a million times and you leave it again, what happens? You see what you have in you. You have something in you that doesn't allow you to stay down. Okay? But if you poke that ball and the air gets out, it doesn't even need you to put the ball under pressure. You put that ball again in water and then on its own, it's going without you even putting pressure. So it means don't ever let go of the Spirit of God in you. Don't ever let go of the power of God in you, because that's what's keeping you floating. Amen. Amen. So let me land with this one so that we do the baby dedication. We pray with the baby. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. The Passion, Mr. MJ. Because I want to read this one because I want to help you that as an amphibian, there are times when you need to decide, I really want to tune into the frequency of the Lord so that I can get things from the spiritual realm. Do you know that sometimes even in your own prayer life, if you are praying and you pray and you pray and you really are very earnest in your prayer, sometimes you get peace even before you see the thing happening in the natural. You already have it because in your spirit, it's already settled. So when it's already settled in the spiritual realm, the natural will catch up later. Amen. So, but those of you who walk by sight, you first want to see it with your eyes. You are behind. Amen. Those of us who walk in the spirit, we pray about certain things and we see them already and we relax. We are like Jesus. Jesus said to the fig tree, no one eat fruit from you hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it and he left. As they went, the Bible says when they came back the next day, it's Mark chapter 11. When they came back the next day, Peter saw the fig tree dried up. And he said, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. So now Peter was walking by sight. Now he sees the fig tree that is withered away. So I don't know what Peter was thinking a day before. After Jesus cursed the fig tree, because it says, and the disciples heard him. So I'm not sure what Peter was thinking. The Bible doesn't tell us. But if Peter was like some of you, you would be saying, huh? Lord, just speak things. It would be better if you were chopping this tree. You just speak and then leave and say this tree will never bear fruit. What if it bears fruit? So when they were coming the next day, Jesus was not even looking at the fig tree. I think Peter, oh, Lord, behold, the fig tree you cursed has withered away. And Jesus doesn't say, I told you, I'm a powerful man of God. No. To Jesus, that fig tree had already withered away the time he spoke with it. Because he walks in the spiritual. So he says, have faith in God. Assuredly, I say unto you, whosoever, now he doesn't talk about the fig tree. He says the fig tree is a small thing, man. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. And you say, but does the mountain have ears? Does the fig tree have ears? Does my problem have ears? Does sickness have ears? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whosoever shall say unto this problem, whosoever shall say, unfortunately, some of you are not saying unto, you are saying about. You like talking about your problem. All your neighbors know about your problems. They don't know your victories. But it's whosoever shall say. Now, Let's ascend into this realm. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 to 2.
Then suddenly, after I wrote down these messages, I saw a portal open into the heavenly realm.
Oh, a portal open into the heavenly realm. I like this portal. Sometimes when I'm meditating and praying and studying the word, there are times sometimes I don't want to be disturbed. Even Bombe knows that. So it's like I'm downloading. It's this thing where revelation after revelation, you're just seeing things, receiving. So most of these things that I'm sharing with you is things that I receive from the heavenly portal. It's not internet stuff, this one. Okay. Because you will see the difference between internet stuff and revelation. You feel the difference between, if somebody is preaching internet, you will know this is internet. Amen. But when you are preaching something that was revealed to you, you are preaching as if it's God himself speaking. Amen. So, he says the heavenly realm opened. Uh-huh.
And the same trumpet voice I heard speaking with me at the beginning said, ascend into this realm.
Hey, I like this man. Guys, we should ascend into that realm. The problem is that, so sometimes you even need to get away from people so that you can tune into the right frequency. Amen. So that you can receive from the heavenly portal.
Yeah. Mm. Yes. Ascend into this realm. I want to reveal to you what must happen after this.
Do you see that God is seeking to reveal things to us? He wants to reveal things to us, but we are not ascending into that realm enough. We are so much earthly bound. All the things that we are spending more time, you know, it's all the gossips, all the sins, all going to all those places instead of setting yourself apart. Just spend time in the presence of God. Be soaked by the fullness of God.
Instantly, I was taken into the spirit realm.
That's where I want to be. Mm. An amphibian.
Amen.
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 Spiritual realm, natural realm. Mm. And the good thing is that if you spend more time in the spiritual realm, you will not be surprised about what happens in the natural. Yeah. Did you get that?
Yes.
Fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
Let's end it there today.